Hello, funky listeners, and welcome to a very festive episode of Funk Radio. This is your host, Kyle.
You don't want to come
Kyle
up...
Kyle Claus.
Okay, I was about to say, you didn't want to come up with like a thematic name for yourself.
Yeah.
Kyle Claus.
That took way too long to think of something that simple.
Oh, gosh. And, I am... Isn't the Russian Santa Claus, like, Black Peter or something?
I don't know. I have to look this up now.
But he's not nice. He's, like, evil.
Well, pretty much the American Santa Claus is the only nice Santa Claus. Like, if you research the Santa Claus lore of other countries, they're all pretty messed up. My favorite is Germany's with the Krampus thing. You know about that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's like there's Santa Claus and then his evil twin Krampus who eats children.
Oh, gosh.
It says that Russian Santa Claus is named Dead Morose.
So what am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Wait, it's okay, so Black Peter is a version of Santa Claus, or Saint Nick, from folklore of the Low Countries.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't know.
That sounds very...
Oh, it's Dutch.
Oh, okay.
So it's like Belgium, Netherlands, Luxembourg.
I was going to say, that sounds very like J.R. Tolkien-ish. We must go to the Low Country.
Okay. So I guess for this episode, I'm going to be Black Peter instead of regular Peter.
Yeah, I guess the Russian version, Dead Morose or something, it translates to Old Man Frost, which sounds awesome.
Well, there you go.
Since Russia is pretty much the land of frost, he must be like their god.
Indeed. So, as much as we would love to talk about global versions of Santa Claus, I think we have a different topic for this episode.
We
don't
do.
We, Kyle Claus?
Yes, Black Peter. You sound like a pirate. Yeah, we were made privy to a very special holiday album that just recently came out, I believe this last week, that we thought would be appropriate to review before the holidays. I know we've talked about the band Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings before. We even talked about the label that they're on. And apparently, they came out with a holiday album. Because what self-respecting soul group doesn't have a holiday album?
That's true. And I think last year... Was it last year or the year before that we reviewed A Motown Christmas? Which is like their... Basically, it was like that label's soul album for Christmas songs. But it was from like 1974. Three or something.
I believe that was last year, but I don't remember. The years just go by too fast.
Time flies when you got the funk.
True. But this album, for those of you that care, the title is It's a Holiday Soul Party. So you know just right from the get-go that it's pretty soulful.
So, and if you don't care, then you should probably stop listening.
If you don't care, then get the fuck out. Merry Christmas. So Black Peter and I will be bouncing through the songs here, since we both listened to this album numerous times. I listened to it while putting up my Christmas tree.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yay.
So, quick note. You said that it came out this last week. Apparently, it came out on October 30th of this year.
Holy crap.
So, like a month and a half ago. But I didn't hear about it at all until, like you said, like this last week. Because
yeah,
you told me about it.
I think I assumed it was this last week because it seemed to have gotten a lot of press in the last week or so, probably because it's now officially the holidays. Who wants to listen to Christmas songs, like, on Halloween?
Exactly. And my mom said that she just read about it, too, like, within the last couple of days. So, it must be just be blah, blah, blah. People are listening to it now.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll bounce through the songs and we can pick our favorites, although I think we probably both have the same favorite song. And hopefully you guys will have a good festive episode, since we're probably going to take a bit of a hiatus around the holidays.
That's
so
true.
We'll leave you with this one. So what's the first song that we have here on the roster? Black Peter.
You don't have to call me that. Actually, probably you shouldn't. I don't want to get angry letters from listeners. The first song on It's a Holiday Soul Party is called 8 Days of Hanukkah. I found this to be a pretty fun song. I was, when the very first time I was listening to this album, I was thinking, oh, I like how they're not just making a Christmas album. They're making like an actual holiday album that's going to cover, you know, songs from different festive celebrations in this season. But this, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is the only non-Christmas song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a Hanukkah song. But so I was a little bit quote-unquote disappointed that it wasn't more inclusive of other people, I guess. I mean, like, I personally celebrate Christmas, but I know that not everyone does.
So, yeah, but at the same time, some of these songs are kind of, what's the word?
Generic seasonal.
Yeah, seasonal songs. They're not, I mean, some of them, obviously, if they have the word Christmas in the title, they're Christmas. But there's some that are just, like, general festive songs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I don't know how many Hanukkah songs there really even are, other than that Adam Sandler one.
More than that, tell us on Facebook.
Yeah. I'm sad there's not a Kwanzaa song, but...
Yeah, that's too bad.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's about as inclusive as a holiday album could probably be. Usually holiday albums you either have, like, where it's nothing but, like, church hymn songs, or it's all, like, what's the word? Like, super generic Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Reindeer shit.
So, I mean, and it's weird that I'm starting out this discussion with something that's could be negative. Considered negative, but, like, I love this album generally, so, like, that's really the only, if you want to say I have a negative comment, it's that, but other than that, I really like this album. So I don't want to start out by saying I don't think they did a good job, because they did.
True.
Did you have any notes on this particular song?
No, I just liked it. I mean, it's a good Hanukkah song. I'm not really super privy to Hanukkah, but it's about as soulful as Hanukkah can get, I think.
No, they do a really fantastic job of mixing their own soul sound with, you know, the theme of Hanukkah and everything. It's pretty seamless with everything else on the album, so I think they did a pretty good job.
True that.
Quick reminder to you listeners, as Kyle mentioned, we have talked about Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings before. They are a contemporary band, but they and everyone else on the Daptone Records label do a really good job of emulating the sound of soul music from the 60s, to the point where I think they even, like, use the same equipment, right?
Yeah, they try to reproduce the sound by using, like, I guess you could call it antique equipment from that era to kind of really harness that sound as best they can, so they don't do any, you know, I don't know what 80s or 90s stuff they have, like synthesizing or any of that shit.
Yeah, it's all like analog stuff.
Yeah, super analog, which is cool, and that's why they produce really, really high quality vinyls as well.
Mm.
You know, analog to analogs always sounds better than digital to analog.
That makes sense.
So yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if you heard like some of their songs mixed in with stuff that was, you know, actually classic soul music, I mean, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
At least I wouldn't. I mean, it's great. So you were saying we should play a clip of 8 Days of Hanukkah. Should we maybe choose, I don't know, maybe 4 songs as we go through that we can play?
Yeah, sounds. Just to do we want to play a clip of this one then, or no? Since you want to hate play it?
I don't hate. Okay, let's choose 5 songs from the album that we'll play. That's okay. Almost half. And okay. So yes, we'll play a clip of 8 Days of Hanukkah. Time to light a candle for those MAGA people who oiled it, burn and burn. Let's do.
Time to spin a cradle and hope that didn't we have what?
Didn't we have a brief discussion about dreidels a few weeks ago?
I think we
were confused about something.
About what dreidels do. I don't even know.
Well, you spin them, and then they do things.
I know they have, like, the Hebrew symbols on the sides. I don't know what those symbols represent. When it lands on one, I assume it ends up with some scenario similar to Jumanji. I don't know.
I'm pretty like sure Moses, we're terrible people.
Moses just wakes from the dead and it turns into, like, your house starts filling with sand. and locusts and the plague and shit.
Maybe this is why there aren't more Hanukkah songs.
I think I just came up with an awesome new movie for Hollywood. Instead of Jumanji, it's Jumanji.
Oh my god.
I would say I'm going to hell, but Jews don't believe in hell, so.
And the way that it works is if you make a joke about Judaism, then you're automatically Jewish, so you don't go to hell.
Exactly.
That's how it works. All right, so let's steer away from being terrible people for now. So you were telling me earlier, Kyle, I think this next one is your favorite song from the album.
Yeah, track two. This track two is definitely a, I guess, very new personally written Christmas song by the group, and it's called "Ain't No Chimneys in the Projects." Now, the reason I like the song is because it reminds me way too much of James Brown's "Santa Claus Goes Straight to the Ghetto," and it has that same super funky sound. It references, you know, the places that a lot of these singers came from. And it's just fun, and it's kind of funny. So
it's got a good take on like the Christmas escapism, I guess.
True. Now, when you listen to this song, did you get kind of like that sort of Philly sound, like Curtis Mayfield kind of? Did you get that feeling with this or no? Because I kind of
a little bit. Yeah, I can see that a little bit. That's interesting.
But yeah, no, it's just a good song. No, go ahead.
No, I want to say this one they actually did a few years ago, because I'm almost positive I've heard this song before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I know obviously the album didn't exist back then, but I want to say they did this song a few years ago, and they must be just including it now.
Yeah, maybe they did it as like a single or just a one-off. I don't know. They may have.
Okay. Well, I think this is probably definitely in our top five that we should play.
Most definitely. So yeah, that was "Ain't No Chimneys in the Projects," and apparently there aren't.
Yeah. Well,
that's a good logistics question. How does Santa get into houses without chimneys?
Well, in the song, the young girl is singing, you know, how does Santa deliver presents to me when I live in the projects? We don't have chimneys, and the girl's mother tells her that when Santa comes, a chimney appears, and then he comes down.
Oh, okay.
I believe that's how it goes in the song.
I would have assumed it was more like Terminator 2. He just turns into like liquid and goes under people's doors or something. He turns into hot chocolate.
that's a good interpretation.
Yeah. So yeah, that was "Ain't No Chimneys in the Projects." Another song. I don't know if we want to play this one or not necessarily, because it's a cover of obviously a old Christmas song. Is "White Christmas." Mm-hmm. I like it because they put a completely different spin on the song.
This one reminds me a lot of Ike and Tina Turner for some reason.
Yes, definitely.
It's a little bit more rocky soul and fast-paced and everything.
Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that. That's what's so funny is the original "White Christmas" is such a slow song.
Mm-hmm.
To change it to like this sort of fast-paced, sort of danceable Ike and Tina Turner sound is pretty cool.
Yeah. Actually, this is a good moment for me to say this. I generally don't care for Christmas music at all.
What?
And I know people are either like they don't like it or they love it.
I'm kind of in between. I like it, but I don't like when they play it in like November. I like it like the 2 weeks around Christmas. Then I'm cool with it.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. It's just I don't purposely listen to it or whatever.
What about "Up on the Rooftop"?
Well, I only listen to that when you sing it to me, Kyle.
Yeah.
But this, I feel like this album to me is the exception, because mm-hmm. this is something I could listen to voluntarily. Just I think partly because of songs like "White Christmas," where they completely kind of switch around the musical expectations, I guess.
Yeah.
Of what it
should
sound like.
I can dig it.
Yeah.
So yeah, we won't necessarily play a version of White Christmas, although we did talk it up pretty well. So what we will do, we'll post the video for the song on our Facebook page, because there's a pretty good video that goes along with it.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
So, yep.
This album is also, FYI, it's on Spotify, so you listeners can go listen to it there.
And if you want, it's also on sale on Amazon on both CD and vinyl. The vinyl is red vinyl, which is pretty dope.
Ooh, Christmassy. Yeah.
Except apparently right now it's out of stock, so if you order it, hopefully it will be in by Christmas.
Oh. You said you bought it, right?
Yeah, I wasn't able to order the vinyl because the vinyl was out of stock, but I got the CD.
Oh, okay.
So.
Cool.
Good consolation, I guess. Well, it shows how popular the album is. It's already out of stock, you know?
Yeah.
Moving along our list, I guess, is a song called Just Another Christmas Song, which is kind of a cute name.
I really like this one.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't this kind of combine... I think it's an original song, but it kind of combines bits and pieces.
Maybe.
Of other stuff.
It does. I mean, again, I don't know if it's just because it's a, quote, generic Christmas song, but it sounds really familiar. So you may be right.
Well, because, like, I'm kind of listening to it in the background, and it's... right now, they're mixing in a piece of White Christmas, but then they're kind of going back and forth with their own original elements to this as well.
Yeah.
And now they're singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. So
Yeah. I get what you're saying. It's like they're kind of mixing a lot of different Christmas song lines into like one beat, which is kind of fun and funny because they do tend to blend together after a while.
They do. And I think that's kind of the point
of
the song too, is that it's just whatever they're doing is just another Christmas song.
Exactly. You know, they're all when you break them down, they're all really similar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just funny how they take kind of those seasonal hymns and lines and stuff and just mash them together, and it's like, here's a Christmas song that's literally a Frankenstein song. It's a Halloween song, too.
Yeah. You think this one is worth playing?
I do.
For the listeners? Yeah,
okay. I do.
Let's do it.
So that was Just Another Christmas Song. Definitely one of my top three on the list, just because it's making fun of Christmas songs a little bit, but it's still really good and it holds its own.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
It does. To me, anyway. I don't know about you listeners.
Yeah. Another song we have that's a cover of a very old classic is Silent Night. The reason I love this one is because it's at the beginning, it's like super bluesy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I'm like, holy crap, Christmas blues, that's awesome.
It reminds me a lot of struggling to come up with a good name. Yeah, I guess a lot of those early blues guys and kind of like the precursors to soul music.
It kind of is like if you combine blues and Billie Holiday, if that makes any sense. Hit the nail on the head?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely very much... It's the same slow pace as the original. It just puts a blues twist on it, which is cool. You know, that's not done very often, so...
It's a good version. I mean, they don't go crazy with it. And I think they probably could have sped it up if they wanted to, but it's good.
True. Now, I would play a clip of this, but I want to save a clip for the song after this one. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, if you've heard Silent Night, you've heard Silent Night. This is it's a cool version because it puts a blues twist on it, but we'll let you listeners discover it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is probably close to my favorite just because it's so innuendo-y. I don't know, is that a word?
Yeah, I mean, on this show it is.
Yeah, and it's called Big Bulbs.
Yeah, so the thing with me with this song is that when I was first looking at the track list, I didn't have my glasses on, so I thought it said Big Butts. and then I forgot about it, and then I was listening through it as I was working on stuff, and then this song came up, and I missed the word, the way they were kind of saying the refrain, I misheard it. Because they're saying, baby, you got them big bulbs. But the way it sounded, I thought they said, baby, you got them big balls. And I was like, what the hell is this?
I totally did the same thing. Oh, gosh. I was like half listening to it because I was like doing Christmas tree stuff or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I just like looked up and I'm like, did they just say baby you got big balls?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm not the only one then.
Well, I think we kind of spoiled the innuendo of the song, but yeah, it's very rarely do you see a lot of sexuality in Christmas songs, and it's very refreshing.
Yeah. I didn't think of it as actually being an innuendo. I just got it as me mishearing it and being dumb, but
I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be an innuendo.
That makes sense.
Which is funny, because I think it's a little bit harkening back to really, really old blues music, because old blues from like the 20s and 30s
yeah.
used to be so filled with innuendos. I think we discussed this, actually, a little bit.
Maybe, a little bit. But even like the sound of music back then, I'm getting that from this song, too.
Yeah, exactly. So that's I think cool. It's a little bit of an homage to that kind of 20s and 30s kind of super raunchy but innuendo-y blues stuff, because mm-hmm. back then there was no like FCC type shit, so they could just cram a song full of sexual references and no one cared.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's play a little clip of Big Bulbs while you guys polish your bulbs. Oh God. Baby, you got them big bulbs. Baby, you got them big bulbs flashing in your window tonight. We get so excited when we see
all the pretty lights. Now, the tree that you set up at your house, Kyle, does yeah. it have big bulbs on it? Or just the little ones?
The one downstairs does. We have a small tree upstairs that we just filled with like Disney stuff, but then we have a bigger tree upstairs that's like more traditional.
Okay.
Or I flipped it. Downstairs big tree, upstairs little tree.
So the downstairs one has big bulbs?
Yep. They're pretty big. I like to touch them.
Cool. But yeah, actually, you brought up a kind of a good point with like the time period of not only the content of the song, but the way it sounds as well.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't really thought about that before this, but yeah, it's kind of a cool little twist, and it is an original song as well. I don't think anyone else has ever done this, but it's kind of one of those good, how we were saying earlier, just like generic seasonal type songs. It's True. Not necessarily like overtly Christmas themed,
but at the same time, it's not one you're going to see them playing in a grocery store.
No, probably not. If they did, that would be awesome. But.
True. So yeah, I guess sadly they don't have more innuendo songs like that, but the next one is pretty traditional, and I think it's a cover. It sounds like a song I've heard before.
Probably.
Please come home for Christmas. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Kitty.
I feel like that's another, I don't think that's one that they came up with on their own, but.
I'm not sure, because it just sounds super, super familiar, but again, I couldn't name Christmas songs if you paid me to. I do like this one, though, because similar to Silent Night, it puts, like, a bit of a blues spin on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so. It's a bit more slow-paced as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this album is good because it mixes tempos a bit, and you get a couple of tracks that are more traditional sounding, I guess,
mm-hmm.
with the type of Christmas music you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of them kind of flip those expectations a little bit. So I think there's a little bit of something for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's got all your, I guess, classics in there, but then it changes the tempo of some of them, and it's a good variance.
Mm.
It's just as good for like listening while you're doing other Christmassy stuff as it is to like actually actively listen and dance to with your significant others or cats.
Or thank you, Kyle. That makes me feel fantastic.
I was trying to be inclusive. Damn it!
Thank you. Apparently, Please Come Home for Christmas was originally sung as a blues Christmas song by Charles Brown.
Why does that sound familiar?
Not to be confused with Charlie Brown.
I just imagine it's like Charlie Brown when he like grew up.
Mm-hmm. That was
sort of writing music
from 1960. So they are, I guess, covering like a 60s blues song that was Christmas themed.
Good God, I typed in Charles Brown into Wikipedia. There is a shitload of Charles Browns. There's like 20 Charles Browns that were just politicians, let alone anything else. Oh, here, blues singer, Charles Brown. Gotcha, got it. Oh, okay. I've seen this guy before. He did other songs called Driftin' Blues, Merry Christmas Baby. So, he's from Texas. He died in
1999. Well, that's sad.
Yeah, well, sadly, most blues guys are passed away, especially the old crew, I guess. That's why B.B. King was so sad. He was, like, one of the last of, like, the original blues guys from, like, the 50s. But the rest of them are all dead. Because, you know, they live hard, usually.
Die old.
Live hard, die old, exactly. Yeah, that's funny. That's the funny thing is they live hard, but they usually live a long time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Up next, I guess, on a happier, non-death-related note, is the song, which is another one of my favorites on here, is Funky Little Drummer Boy.
Yeah, I like this one, too.
This one definitely seemed very... It seems like something the Jackson 5 would sing, and I'm pretty sure that's because the Jackson 5 did cover this song.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Not Funky Little Drummer Boy, but they covered the original Drummer Boy.
Got it.
But the backing is super funky.
Yeah, this is probably like... Because we've been saying this is like soul music, and I would say this is probably the funkiest song on the album.
Yeah, definitely. I can dig it. But yeah, the beginning starts out really cool with horns and stuff. Then it goes into like that kind of funky bass beat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it still keeps the tempo of the original, which is interesting. Because usually you don't associate funk with like slower tempos.
Usually, yeah. But actually, yeah, this one, I think it holds its own. I think it's a pretty good version.
Yeah. Should we play a clip?
I think we should. So the next one is Silver Bells, which is probably the most traditional Christmassy sounding song. Pretty slow. It's not really bluesy like the other ones. It's more stripped down just with piano and then Sharon Jones singing.
You got a good point. This one is definitely more traditionally Christmas than most, but I like it.
It does pick up after the first minute or so.
Yeah,
get a little bit more upbeat, but I wouldn't say it's in my top three or five.
No,
but it's good.
It's good, but Silver Bells has never been my favorite Christmas song to begin with. The next one we have is, I think, another original, because I never heard it before, called World of Love.
The song stuck out to me because I think it's the only one with a male singer.
I think you're right.
I can't speak to who that is.
I can't either, because I'm unfortunately not seeing it any featured by stuff.
It reminds me of, like, not Curtis Mayfield, but something around that era. Maybe Bobby Womack or something.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it definitely sounds kind of like Bobby Womack-ish. Oh, he's still alive. Didn't he just actually pass away?
I don't think so.
We know Curtis Mayfield did. I think
Bobby Womack is still going, because I think once we talked about how he's been doing music for like over 50 years.
No, dude, he passed away last year.
Oh, okay, we must have talked about it then.
June 27th, yeah, because I know that. Remember, we were extra sad because he was our first episode ever. We reviewed his album.
Oh, yeah.
Man, damn. That's sad. They're all dying on me.
So, yeah, I mean, you listeners should check out stuff by Bobby Womack, but this particular song, I think, sounds a bit like... I guess one singer you could say this sounds like.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I dig it because of that, but... And it breaks it up so it's not all Sharon Jones, you know? Like, I love her voice, but it's nice to see the men represented, too.
Because if there's any group that's underrepresented, it's men.
it's men. Exactly. We should start a men's rights club.
We should not. We should talk about the very last song from this album. God rest ye merry gents.
You don't see that word enough, ye.
Or gents.
Yeah.
I think it's the only instrumental song.
It's a weird song.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
But yeah, I like it. It's exactly. It's instrumental. It's a good topper for the record, I guess.
It sounds a little bit like New Orleans-y.
Yeah. Yeah, with that kind of like slow piano, I can dig it.
And the horns and stuff. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, I get that a lot. But yeah, it's a good song. It's short. It's instrumental. I think it's just kind of to showcase, like, here's the dope ass backing band of the Dap Kings. You know,
they're pretty dapper.
They're pretty dapper, exactly. Speaking of dapper, I love the cover of this album because it's so like 1960s Christmas cover. You know, you got them all holding up decorations like they're actually like doing something, but they're all in like bright red suits.
Yeah.
Because you'd totally put up Christmas trees in a suit.
I mean, maybe you did. I don't know.
No, sadly I didn't.
No.
But no, I just thought that was so perfect.
That's a good point because, you know, we talk about how they emulate the sound really well from that era, but actually everything about the design of that album cover is like to a T. It's like 60s stuff.
Yeah.
They did a really good job with that.
Yeah, it's perfect. I love it.
I think that kind of goes with their other albums too.
Yeah, I'm looking at their older album covers. They all kind of ooze that 60s album cover style.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not very contemporary, which is cool. I like when, especially when music, I guess, goes back to its roots, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, I just heard the opening to 8 Days of Hanukkah, and I'm like, oh my god, it's James Brown. Because they're like, 1, 2, 3, 4. Which I'm pretty sure he did.
Get on up.
I'm pretty sure he did that in literally every song he ever wrote.
Pretty much.
He just really liked to count.
I was just wondering if they ever had James Brown on Sesame Street.
I'm pretty sure they did. I have to look this up now. Oh my god.
Which would be amazing, but I don't think he should be anywhere near children.
Oh, there's Little Richard, who did Rubber Ducky.
Oh, I remember that.
There's Chris Brown, who should probably even more so not be around children. Oh man, I'm not seeing. There's Stevie Wonder. I know we. Yep, no James Brown. That's sad.
Oh well.
It's because he stole all the children from Sesame Street to be on his album with that song "I'm Black and I'm Proud."
Are there children in that song?
Yeah, in that song, there's like a bunch of children saying like, "Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud."
Yeah.
He got a bunch of like local kids to like sing with him. It was pretty cute.
That's cool.
I think we wrapped up that album pretty nicely with a nice little bow.
Yep. So yeah, once again, it's called, what is it called? It's a holiday party.
It's a holiday soul party.
It's a holiday soul party. by Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. Apparently you can't get it on vinyl right now, but you can obtain it other ways.
You can still get it on CD, or you can probably get it on vinyl, just not through Amazon, unfortunately, which is where I get most of my vinyl now. Seriously, they have really good prices. Plus, what's cool is any vinyl, or I'm totally shilling for Amazon right now, any vinyl or CD you buy, they automatically give you a credit to download the MP3 through their Prime Music, even if the album doesn't come with an MP3 code already.
Oh, so you get both versions?
Exactly. So that's pretty cool. Good for Amazon. So yeah, that was our holiday album review. Hopefully you guys will pick up the album because it's definitely a good holiday background music thing majig.
I feel like as a music podcast, we should be able to describe that better.
I feel as human beings who use words, I should be able to talk better.
Yeah.
Hopefully someone from Hollywood will call me about my new pitch, Jumanji. Oh, jeez, I'm going to hell. But I gotta stop saying that. That's like my catchphrase. It's just, Kyle says something terrible. I'm going to hell.
At least you're self-aware.
True.
As you mentioned earlier on, I think this is going to be our last episode before our holiday hiatus.
Yeah.
So thanks for all your listening ears during 2015, and we'll be back hopefully, January.
Yeah, hopefully we will bring you even more funky freshness in 2016.
The future
of funk.
Well, in the meantime, even though we won't have new episodes, you listeners can still tell us what you think of this episode or others on Facebook at facebook.com/getyourfunk, or you can follow us on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/getyourfunk, And you can leave comments on our tracks there as well, and we will respond to you. What else?
iTunes. We don't follow Twitter anymore.
We don't follow each other, but we are on iTunes if you like getting podcasts through there. I personally don't, but if that's your thing, then it's there.
Yeah. I know Spotify is slowly trying to implement actual podcasts. I don't know how far along they are, but I know I want to research that as well.
Well, in the meantime, SoundCloud has been a really good platform.
Yep. I love SoundCloud. They're dope.
Indeed. Okay.
So, yeah, this has been your funky host, Kyle Claus.
And this has been your white host, Black Peter.
I like that you had to preface that, in case they didn't know.
Yeah.
Have a happy holiday. I think it's right in the middle of Hanukkah right now, so happy Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Kwanzaa, all that stuff. So, yeah, we will see you guys in probably 2016.
You will hear us in 2016.
Yes, unless the world ends.
Well, we might see you, listeners, if we have, like, Funk Radio Con 2016.
it's just like the two of us at like a folding table in like a gigantic room, and then there's just like one guy wandering around. And then he comes to our table. So is this Funk Con? Yeah, here's a pamphlet. Oh my god.
And then we'll be able to say that 100% of our listener base showed up at the convention.
And then, like, the one guy cosplayed, but, like, as both of us, so, like, one half is Peter and one half is Kyle.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
Okay, so, yeah, this has been your host, Kyle, and...
Yeah, we already said that.
Yeah, fuck you.
Merry Christmas, everybody.